Yes. 2013 Ghetto Podcast in the building. Better late than never. Yeah. It's week 11, 2013, and this is the first podcast. You know what? Fuck you too. Here's what we're going to discuss. Number one, we're going to discuss how Sean Daly's a puss because he wouldn't come on the podcast and be introduced to the league. Number two, we're going to discuss Saturday Ghetto Fest. Number three, we're going to discuss the power rankings. Everyone helped me out with some countdown of the rankings. And number four, we're going to discuss who's going to get the buys. That's the agenda. We'll see what I get to. So Sean Daly, new member of the Ghetto, stepping in for MJ. What a change it's been. Now, there's six of us total who know what kind of change it is because all six of us have had to upgrade their cell phone plans with the emergence of Daly in the Ghetto. My wife took out my bill. My average text per month was 1,000 texts in and out, which actually seems like a lot for a grown 37-year-old man with like a fucking real job and shit. But come September, when Daly joined the Ghetto, it went up to 5,000. Quite the surge. Now, four of you, Smitty, Ron, Daly, Greg Crossy, have been left out of all these texts. Do not be jealous. Be grateful. Yes, some of them are funny. There have been a couple funny moments. But that being said, I did feel bad because there are four guys who were left out of it. And it was like, oh, if you look at this season, although I am talking about the Ghetto 24/7 now, not everyone is. And we don't have the Biggie stories. We don't have the Joe's podcast. We don't have a message board going. So as the playoffs come close and the dress bowl comes close, I'm going to make a conscious effort to group all 10 of us together and get excited for the Ghetto, the end of the season here. Yeah, Daly's a puss. He didn't want to come on. He doesn't know what the podcast is. I guess I don't blame him. It does sound weird. So we're done with that part. Let's talk about the first thing we're going to do as 10 of us is go out drinking Saturday night. Ghetto Fest 2013. We are starting Saturday night. We're going out to dinner on Elm Street at Jade Dragon, some Chinese food place that moved into the Brimmer because somebody fucked up the Black Brimmer and put it out of business. Then we're going to go to a bar, probably the Shaskeen, and we're going to drink. And Colin is going to talk about golf, and everyone else is going to talk about how awkward it would be if MJ was there because Daly really wants MJ to be there for some type of confrontation. He's claiming it so everyone can bury the hatchet and hug it out, but I think it's for some huge, I'm going to get fucking stabbed in my back of my neck when I'm not looking. So that should be fun. So come on out Saturday night. Get drunk. Get shit-faced. Get sloshed. Do whatever you got to do. I'll bring you home since I'm bringing Colin to Southwest Bedford for a 45-minute drive in the fucking pitch black. I might as well drive everyone home. So come on out. Let's do it. All right. Let's discuss these Ghetto rankings. In the entirety of the podcast, I've always done my rankings, and I've always had the final countdown music for the Ghetto countdown, and I've decided that's gay. So we have a new intro. Yay, new music. I'm not saying I'm number one. I'm sorry, I lied. I'm number one, two, three, four, and five. All right, the power rankings. So eight people responded, including myself, of listing the Ghetto members 1 through 10, their teams right now, what they'd want to have. I gave first place 10 points, last place 1 point, and here's what we came up with. The best team in the Ghetto is Richie Weber. He got 78 points. That is 7 first place votes at 10 points, and one third place vote for 8 points. You want to know who gave him the third place vote? Yeah, you know, himself. Richie Weber has been nasty this year. He's getting better each week lately. Drew Brees has been just 2 points behind Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning came out setting records to start the season, and Brees has caught him. He's only 2 points behind. You get Adrian Peterson at number one, who hasn't been as good as he's been, but in a league where everyone's running back either sucks or it's hurt, it's nice to have Peterson. And Richie drafted MJD, and you would think that would have screwed him, but he was able to figure it out as the season went. Bell's in there now, and he even had enough running back depth to get rid of Ridley to improve on his tight end when Finley got dead. So you got to give it to Rich. He looks good. A sneaky pick, too, was Antonio Brown is playing like a low number one receiver. He got him mid-round. So Richie Weber looks good. It's been a while since he's held the cup. I don't think I'm ready for him to hold it a fifth time. That would really bug me. But we'll see what happens. Second place, 69 points, Nick D. Nick D receiving the only other first place vote. A lot of number twos. A lot of people ranked him the second best team. I like his team. He's got three amazing players, Megatron, Jimmy Graham, and Jamaal Charles, all best at their positions. Then it just comes down to, does RG3 throw TD passes to Pierre Garçon? You better hope not, or else Nick D will beat you. I, too, ranked Richie's team number one. But I wouldn't be surprised if Nick comes out of the West Coast division. Number three with 65 points is Biggie. And number four with 52 points, there's a considerable drop down to four, is Greg. Three and four, Biggs and Greg. 3 weeks ago, they were 1-2, and there was no talking anyone out of it. That was going to be the finals matchup. Greg's team looked amazing behind Peyton Manning, and Biggie's team was just built with depth, and he was trading up. He was doing his two-for-ones and making trades, and he got Rodgers, and he got McCoy. Everything looked perfect for him. He got Welker. But nothing's been clicking lately. He lost Rodgers. Greg lost Foster. These two teams are in a spiral downwards. They still both have talent. But right now, they're not peaking. We'll see what happens. Fifth best team was myself at 51 points. Greg was 52, so we were right there. A lot of people couldn't decide who was better, Greg or I. So it'll be interesting to see if that is a matchup in these semifinals. My team's built on some Gronk, some AJ Green, and some Reggie Bush. It's like a shittier version of Nick's team. Not the best at each position, but good at each position. Then I got a quarterback wide receiver combo that I need to throw TDs to myself if I'm going to win. And let's see if I get anything out of the RB2. So I'm like Nick Light. I'm like a smaller version of Nick, like a regular sized dick version of Nick. Team number six is Sean Daly, a.k.a. Whiff, a.k.a. the new guy. A.K.A. thank God we're not dealing with MJ's crazy ass anymore. So Daly, the big talk about Daly is he got screwed because it was MJ's team and MJ drafted horribly and he's been trying to improve it. I took a look to see where Daly began and where Daly is now. The only consistent in his major positions is Fitzgerald. He's still got that. So let's look at the five others. He turned Brady into Newton. A draft of Chris Johnson and C.J. Spiller at running back, which was not good. He turned that into Lacy and Stacy. Wide receivers, D-Jax and Antonio Brown. Like I said, Brown's been real good for Richie. D-Jax has been explosive, so those guys are good. But he turned them into Dez Bryant and Brandon Marshall, so you can't fucking argue with that. So I guess I do have to give Daly credit. He has definitely improved that team. We'll be interested next year to see maybe with a better draft what he could do. But right now with that team, basically because Newton is a hit or miss, I believe, and we still don't know about Stacy, and I don't know why he loves Greg Olsen. He won't get rid of Greg Olsen at tight end. But because of all that, he is the sixth best team. And sixth best team is going to get him nothing except a win over Colin in the first week of the Dress Bowl playoffs. So welcome to the league, Daly. Better luck next time. But good job. Now on to the bottom four. Four teams, three of them from the east side, one of them from the west coast. That means one of these crap teams are going to make the playoffs. And there was a huge drop in the rankings. This group was universally bottom four on everybody's sheets. No surprises there. Coming in at fourth best team, so making the playoffs is Crossy with 26 points. Crossy, definitely old school fantasy football player where he believes in running back, running back, running back. He wants to draft them early. He wants to have three of them. He thinks that's what wins leagues. Well, that's what's had him suck this year. Alfred Morris has been good, but he doesn't catch passes and he doesn't get in the end zone for some reason. And Trent Richardson and Darren McFadden have sucked ass. So that's really been bad for him. QB's good. Wide receivers are pretty good. Andre Johnson's coming on lately. He's got two tight ends that he plays the matchups on, which he's really bad at, by the way. If you have a 50-50, ask Cross to pick one and then go the opposite. Whether it's fantasy football, flipping a coin, he's not good with the 50-50s. But running backs have killed him. But I think he's got enough with Stafford and Andre Johnson that he should make the playoffs. Next up is Ronnie DDD, and he's not the place to be right now because his team don't look too hot. 24 points puts him as the eighth best team. His team looks pretty ugly this week. It just looks like an ugly team. Some of it makes sense, but still looks ugly. Phillip Rivers, Chris Johnson, Bernard, Cotchery, Cooper, Doug Baldwin. That's who he's playing. Bernard's fucking fast and fun, all right? And Rivers was good week two or three. But, man, Phillip Rivers, that'd be ugly in a quarterback league to be Rivers. Chris Johnson sucks ass. Cotchery, Cooper, and Baldwin, those are your wide receivers. 2013, those are your wide receivers. Now, Cooper's caught seven TDs. Cotchery keeps catching them. I honestly don't know why Doug Baldwin's playing. But anywho, it just looks ugly. I'm sorry, Ron. Everyone else had a positive spin. I think your team looks ugly. And I'm sure I only beat you by like 8 points, but I hate your team. Doug Martin, Steven Jackson, that all had something to do with it, but I hate you. And that leaves two people left. Two people who've never worn a dress before. Well, according to your fellow ghetto members, with Colin with 20 points, you were the ninth best team. And looks like you're going to be in a dress bowl yet again. Colin, the bad guy. What the fuck happened? You were 2-0, buddy. Week one, 144 points. Matty Ice throwing TDs to Roddy White. He had Vic on the bench. Didn't even need his 30 points because you had McCoy going nuts at RB. You had Frank Gore at RB2 looking great. That was a great pick. Took him late. I didn't think he was any good. It was amazing. You had Cook at tight end getting 30 points. Week two, you're playing Crossy. You're like, hey, Crossy, your team name's fucking faggy. I hate you. I'm going to beat you. 35-point whooping on Crossy. Put Mike Vick into the lineup. He gets 30 for you. McCoy looks great. Everybody looks perfect. Fucking Dwayne Bowe caught a TD week two. Your team looked nice with Chip Kelly's offense. And then week three, you played Rich, and you haven't been the same since. Downward fucking spiral, my friend. It has not been the same since. Point totals are no longer 144 and 133. You don't know how pissed I am that I lost to you. That's your other win, me. I should have destroyed you, but I fucking shit the bed. And I could have got the bye if I beat you and just, ugh. It's been bugging me that I lost to somebody so bad as you. Yep. Last few years, you've been bad, Colin. Your name's on that trophy more than mine, but God damn it, you've been in that dress bowl a lot. But to your credit, your team shows up, man, when it's the fear of wearing drag, man, your team pulls through. And I predict the same thing will happen this year. Week 15, calling in the Dress Bowl Finals, 145-150. Your team's going to blow up, buddy. Don't worry. You're not going to wear a dress. You're almost going to wear a dress. And last place with 10 points. That's 6 last place votes and 2 second to last place votes. Stephen A. Smith. Smitty. And last but least, Stephen A. Smith. Smitty, you're in last place. You knew that, right? 10 points. 6 people said you were the worst team. 2 people said you were the second to worst team. You kind of see this coming, you know, over the years. Lately, Smitty hasn't been that good. Smitty hasn't been that interested, really. That's always been my complaint, that his interest in the ghetto after founding it. And I assume naming it. Who? I wasn't around. Smitty or Rich? Who gave us the name the ghetto? Who deserves that credit? But anywho, you know, somebody gets hurt and he stops giving a shit and he's falls behind and he'll tell you, I don't care about wearing the dress, so I don't give a fuck. And that's how it goes. But that's not the case this year. Smitty's making moves. Smitty's making trades, ad drops, moving his lineup around. Smitty is attempting his hardest, it looks like, to make this team not suck ass. And he's failing. He's going to have an extremely low point total. And I predict, not going out on a limb, that next year, merely days before he ties the knot, he'll be dressed in drag at a ghetto draft. I'm sure there's some joke about him not wearing the pants after the wedding, and now he won't be wearing them beforehand. But I'm too good for a dumb joke like that. Smitty, you're the worst team in the ghetto. But you knew that, right? The other two last place votes, one went to Ronnie and one went to Colin. It's the worst team in the ghetto, Colin. How's that feel? So there you have it. I guess I should throw a boner of the week in there because I always do the boner of the weeks. I'm not going to go through 10 weeks of games and see who left somebody on the bench that scored 33 points. Let me just try to go macro on boner of the week. I've played Ray Rice like 9 times, and I think Crossy's played Trent Richardson like 9 times. So one of us might get a boner for that. But I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stick with picking on who's in last place and give Steve Smith boner of the week for
boner of the week
for playing Eli Manning this week. Now listen, Smitty's not in this situation because he played Eli. He's not in last place because he played Eli this week. But it's got to be some decision process that's going wrong here. Smitty had Eli. He played him week 3 in a bye. He got 2.4 points. 2.4 points from a QB. Holy fucking shit. So he drops him. Throughout the year, Eli gets used again. Richie Weber uses him for 11 points. It's not a lot of points. I'm sure Richie Weber's not like, hey, I'm going to grab Eli, back up Breeze, rest of the season. No way. I use him. I get 7 points. I fucking cut that. I'm looking for backup QBs. I don't love mine that much. My answer's not Eli. I'm moving on. But not Smitty. Smitty's going that well again. In a week where Greg's team is suffering, running back problems, his receivers are a hot mess, all he's got going is Peyton. Smitty's team minus QBs outscores Greg 64-60. Not a high scoring game, but Smitty outscores him. He just got to find a way to put up a QB this week. I know you're not going to match Peyton Manning, but you got to have a chance, man. And Eli just doesn't give you a chance. You play Eli again. Eli gets you 8 points, and now you're still tied for last place. Boner of the week. Done. All right, that's it. I talk long enough. I said I would do buys. We'll talk about that next week with a guest. We'll get all the tiebreakers done. Just a reminder that we did change the tiebreaker. It got brought up. The tiebreaker for playoffs are head-to-head, then points, then division. So ultimately, it will be head-to-head, then points. I can't imagine a tie in points. So we'll get a guest on next week. We'll get this thing going. Let's talk ghetto playoffs, and let's have a good one. All right. Thanks for joining me, ghetto. See you Saturday night. Later.
some action, just a fraction of friction. I got the clearance to run the interference. India satellite, shining a battle light. Swing out the gat and I know that we'll get you right. Here's an example, just a little sample. How I could just kill a man. One time tried to come in my home. Take my chrome, my Sega wish song. Take cover, son, pour your ass out. Hatching like my chrome, then I watched the rookie pass out. Didn't have to blast him, but I did anyway. Yeah, you know I'm gonna catch ya. How do you know where I'm?